Amen. Before we get started this morning, I'm going to have Pastor Les come up and Cobus. I know his name. I was just talking to him. Today is the beginning of Feast of the Trumpets. And so I just want Les to share with you, and then we're going to blow the shofar before the service this morning. Amen?
Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning. There are three major seasons in Israel every year, and in Bible times, people would from all over the country would gather in Jerusalem to celebrate these three feasts. It's actually seven, but they're in three seasons. So in the spring was Passover, in the summer was Pentecost or Shavuot, and in the fall was Tabernacles. And the fall feast started with the sounding of the trumpet. The sounding of the shofars would be blown, and they still do that today. And in fact, the sounding of the trumpets in Israel today will happen approximately at 11:32 this morning, our time, right in the middle of the service. They're going to be sounding the trumpets. Now, that's all part of the tradition and the rabbinic Judaism and so forth. But all of that has meaning to us as Christians, as believers, because Jesus fulfilled Passover. He fulfilled Pentecost by pouring out the Holy Spirit. And his fulfillment of these three feasts in the fall are going to start with his second coming, which many scholars believe will come, that Jesus will come at the sounding of the trumpets. You know, a lot of scriptures, at the last trumpet, the Lord will sound, and the dead in Christ will raise, and all this beautiful, all the prophecies are fulfilled by Jesus himself. And so as we celebrate him today, and we hear the sounding of this shofar in a moment, think of it a little bit more personal. And I wrote a post on my blog yesterday about being prepared for Jesus to come. Are you ready? There's a lot of prepping going on, saving up food, building bomb shelters, or all that kind of stuff. But the real preparation you need to have going on is getting prepared to meet Jesus, because he's coming, and we better be ready. Hallelujah. Amen.
So much. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He's looking for a people that are ready. He's coming after a people that are ready. Are we ready to meet the Lord this morning? The Bible says that we have not because we ask not. If you want more of him today, why don't you just say, Jesus, I want more of you. I want more of you, Jesus. Nothing else satisfies. We just want more of you. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord today. Praise God. I would like for, just a moment. Nelson, will you and Victor join me? And Eli, would you join me? And Mark, would you join me? Will y'all come here just a minute? Yes, Victor Delgado. Victor said, me? Yeah. I want to do something. Now, they don't even know. I'm going to have them to testify. I want to say this to y'all. These four men right here, as a matter of fact, Nelson and Victor, they teach and train our Royal Rangers, if you want to call it Royal Rangers. But here's what I want to thank them for. I want you to know that these four men, even when class is over, they're usually out there with our youth and with our young boys, And when they get to heaven, you know how, well, maybe I shouldn't say this, but when billy goats want to butt their heads, these guys are helping with the billy goats. And I want to say I personally appreciate y'all and appreciate what you do. Thank you, and God bless you. I just want to do that this morning. Praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Well, let me dismiss Children's Church and our middle schoolers are staying in. Johnson, where are you going? I thought they were staying in. I tell you guys, I. Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Hallelujah. We give you praise. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes.
You may not see peace in the world, but there's peace in the kingdom.
Mm. Hallelujah. Yes. Well, he's a peace giver. He's the way maker. He's the miracle worker. Oh, my Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Now, if you are a visitor here today and you think, what in the world's going on? Well, we just joined Israel as a blow to trumpets. As we, my God, we're not praising the horn. We're praising the Lord. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. We'll bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Oh, praise the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Glory, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I want to share with you this morning. I am going to do my best to do this without tears. I've been in the presence of the Lord this week, and the Lord has revealed truth to me, and I want to share it with you. Father God, I just pray that you open the ears of your people again, I ask, and that you would open our understanding, and that the scales would fall from our eyes, my God. And that you, oh Lord, be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to understand before I start that from page 1 to page 4001, whatever it is, from front to back, that God has always invited everyone to come to the table. From the beginning of Genesis until Revelation, I want you to come. He tells us Christians, go into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. Everybody's invited. The sick, the lame, the poor, the rich, we're all invited to come to the table of the Lord. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. Praise God. Everybody is invited. I don't care how educated or uneducated that you are. You've been invited to the table of the Lord. Yes. God wants you to come. Listen, Let me just say it this way. He that is thirsty, won't you come? He or she that is hungry, won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you come? Everybody is invited. You can't clean up and then come. It don't happen that way. No, 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 no. When you come, God cleans you up. If you're going to wait till you clean up, I don't know. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. So you can't clean yourself. You have to come to the table of the Lord. Now, Christians, believers, listen to me. I want you to hear me out. Everybody that comes to the table, you may not like them. I can tell you, I used to wonder why he called me. I was screwed up from the frame up. Do you understand? And I could not understand why God, as a matter of fact, I have no church history. I have no church background. And God, why would you call such one? I don't know history. I don't know. My God, I'm totally biblical illiterate. And yet, but I was hungry. I was thirsty. And so I am so moved by compassion, by the love of God for you, for God and for you, that I need to share this with you. I had an experience with the Holy Spirit this weekend, and this week, and I'm going to share it with you. But first, the Lord wants me to lay some foundation. Then I'm going to share with you what the Lord has opened my eyes to. I have never heard it preached. I have never heard nobody talk about it. I've heard people preach on the particular scriptures I'm going to read, but not the way that I'm going to bring it today. I'm not looking for different stuff. I'm just looking for his stuff. Do you understand? But I want you to see this. First of all, let me just lay a little bit of foundation. Okay. Christians, believers, open your hearts and your minds. Listen, I want to start. It's easier for me if I magnify the words. I try to work against this. And it's easy for me if I just do this. 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 8, I want to read you what John the Revelator, John the beloved John, from the book of John to John 1, John 2, John 3, and Revelation. John, listen to what he says. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. Yes. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning. For God's seed abides in him. And he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. By this it is evident who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Makes it real simple, don't it, church? In the last days, there's going to be deceivers, you understand? There's going to be preachers and prophets who will deceive you. But, beloved, you must, listen, you must embrace His words. So, whoever does not practice righteousness is of God, is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. Or sister. I want you to, 1 John, I'm still in chapter 3. I want to move down to verse 23-24. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of the Son, of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given. Do you get it? Matthew 22. I'm laying just a little bit of foundation here. Thank you, Pastor. I'm enjoying it. You're welcome. Praise God. Matthew chapter 22. Oh, my Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. The Sadducees had been arguing or testing or trying to contradict Jesus about the resurrection. And so after Jesus had quietened them, then the Pharisees, they come along and they began to question Jesus. And so, and they said this. This is in Matthew's Gospel 22, verse 34 through 39. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor. He said neighbor. He didn't even say brother. Yikes. He said neighbor. Jesus said neighbor. Yeah, your stinking neighbor. Yikes. Think of it. This is the second. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And listen to this. And on these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets. On these two. In other words, if I was to ask you what is the most important commandment in the Bible, you should say there's two. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor. That's the two. And I tell you, with that, all is fulfilled. It's a big deal, beloved. If we're Christians, if we're born again by the Spirit of God, it's a big deal. I'm going to show you in just a minute how big a deal it is. The Holy Spirit lit me up over this. So, Jesus told them the two most important things in the Bible, in all of the Bible. I love the Lord. I love my neighbor. Whew. It'll take God for some of us to love our neighbor. It'll take the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart. It'll take God helping you to love some people. You know, everybody's not as wonderful as you. Let me move on. If you hung around with my wife, I don't know how you couldn't like her. We got two amens. You got two in here that does. Wait, we got three. I'm in love with you. Let me share one more thing. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. I want to back up just a little bit. And then I want to help you with something. Matthew's 5. 43-48. Now, if the most important message that has ever been preached in all of time, from beginning to now, the most important, I'm telling you, message that has ever been preached was preached by Jesus Christ himself. Amen? I tell you, he starts with chapter 5. He sits down. I don't know why we stand up now. I like the sitting down part. And just sit down. But he begins to preach and teach. So chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And he deals with every subject that I think would be important to you. Let me just run down a few of them. Let me just think of this. Let me go back. Let me think. So Jesus sits down and he begins to tell you about the Beatitudes. Jesus then tells you how you're salt and you're light. Then Jesus goes and starts telling you how he came to fulfill the law. He didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. Then Jesus goes and starts talking about anger. Did you know there's a way to deal with anger? Then he talks about lust. What? And divorce. Oaths. Retaliation. Giving to the needy. Loving your enemies. Then the Lord's Prayer. Then he tells you don't be anxious. Then he tells you don't judge. He preaches the most powerful message that has ever been preached in all of time. And he gives clarity. Let me say this. I want to read. Listen to what Jesus says while he is preaching. I'm going to take one of his footnotes. Here's one of them. Chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard, he said, that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Did you hear that? Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Why? So that you may be sons of the Father. Ding dong. Who is in heaven? For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Now, this is Jesus preaching. This ain't the preacher. Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Being perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I want to move over to chapter 7. I know I'm skipping around a lot, but I'm telling you, the Lord, I have a holy reverence. I have wept. And I'm trying my best not to now. Oh God, I have asked the Lord to cleanse me, forgive me, the pastor. I'm about to share something with you. You've seen many times, but I don't think you've understood. I know I haven't understood. So let me read it to you. So after Jesus, just before he, after he talks about judging, then he goes on to talk about fruit and how we can, you know, bear fruit and the golden rule. And then he says something that just blows me away. Let me read it to you. Chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You see, on that day, on judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and many mighty works in your name? And then I have always focused on this last part. And I almost be willing, if I'm a wager man, that you have always also focused on this last part. When he said, did we not do all this in your name? And then he would declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Well, beloved, I've always understood that to be that they weren't Christians. I've always understood that they might be some cult. I've always understood or didn't understand. I don't know what you understand that he has just said to us. But let me be real clear. Because the Holy Spirit asked me a question. Who are we talking about? I thought we were talking about unbelievers. The only thing I cannot get in my mind is how can they cast out demons? There's Christians that's never casted out a demon before. Godly Christians. How can this be? How can they teach and prophesy? How can they prophesy and never know Christ? What? Who are we talking about? How can they do many mighty works? Who are we talking about? We're talking about churches. We're talking about Christians that will not do the will of the Father. Do you hear me? Listen to the first part again. I always focused on the last part. He didn't ever know you. Listen to what I'm telling you, beloved. I tell you, this will change your life. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen. It doesn't matter what I'm saying. Listen to what the Word of God says. Everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father. What is the will of the Father? That we love one another. Beloved, I'm telling you, it's a big deal. It's a matter of fact. I tell you, all the gifts that are operating, my God, you can prophesy and not love. You can cast out demons and not love. Oh, you can do many mighty works, but you don't love. You don't love your brothers. You don't love your sisters. Beloved, I tell you something. You don't love your neighbor. I tell you, now, what do you think is going to happen in that day? He's going to say, you know what? I didn't. Because God is love. How can we say we love God and we don't love our brothers and sisters? How? It's in the church, beloved. Do you understand? My God, it breaks my heart. It's in the church. Many mighty things happen. We want to be spiritual. We want to operate in all the gifts. My God. And we do. We do. And there's nothing wrong with that. But beloved, I can tell you, if the Lord reveals to you, and the Lord very well may reveal to you a flaw in me, or maybe I'm immature, or maybe I'm just fill in the blank. I don't care. The preacher is dumb as a stump. Bless his heart. Whatever, okay? Why do you think the Lord would reveal that to you, beloved? So you could go and get you some more folks and tear me to shreds? Is that what you think the Lord wants you to do? Because I'm telling you, beloved, let me just say this. The Holy Spirit, if you think the Holy Spirit is revealing anything to you, you ought to hit your knees about me. You ought to try to help me. My God, if the Lord would show you my problem, would he not give you the answer if you would pray? Come and say, Pastor John, let me help you with something. I don't know. I'm just saying. Listen, be easy because you might make me mad. But help me. But, beloved, you may open yourself up to all kinds of satanic activity if you begin to go in the other direction. Because I'm going to tell you something about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never contradict Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit will never contradict the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will not. I'm telling you, Jesus ain't going to tell you one thing and the Holy Spirit tell you something else. No. Let me tell you, you might have heard from a spirit, but you didn't hear from the Holy Spirit. Now, beloved, I'll help you if you let me. It ain't me. The Word of God will help us. I have never seen it in that light, but it brought a holy fear. Because I tell you what, it's so easy for us to run commentary on each other. Well, how long they been in church? I don't, just go down there. Listen. I tell you what the fearful thing to me is what will you do when you tell him, hey, Lord, I prophesied. Hey, Lord, I cast out demons. You know what? Aren't you glad that the Bible doesn't say, if thou wilt make heaven, I'm trying to do some, thou must cast out 10 demons in thy lifetime. You can cast out 100 demons, beloved. But if you don't love your brothers and your sisters, I'm telling you, in that last day, you wouldn't do the will of the Father. Oh, God has already made it plain. His will is that you would believe in Jesus Christ and that you would love your brothers and your sisters. Beloved, we got to come together. We're too scattered. We're too loose. People are not safe in church. People get shredded in church. And not just our church, any church. You can go any church. And if they don't like you and you're not in the clique, guess what? You're out. You one of them, whatever. Whatever they say. Poison, junk, trash, crap. It don't line up. I'm sorry. It don't line. I'm telling you, if you're going to do the will of the Father, you're going to have to pray through over some people. I'm going to have to pray. Listen, some of y'all are so easy to love, and some of y'all are aggravating. Now, I ain't making eye contact with nobody. I'm just blinking when I go by. So don't think it's you. I'm just saying. You have to pray over some people, beloved. Don't you think God will help you if you want to do the will of God? You don't think God won't help you? Beloved, listen, you got two enemies. Two. I know you thought you had one, but you really got two. You have Satan, and he is your enemy. I tell you, after he kills, then he steals, then he wants to destroy. What in the world are you talking about? After you kill me, that ain't enough. No. He wants to just take every bit of the seed, anything in you, any hope, any faith, and drain you of that too. And then he wants to kill the root. He wants to destroy you so you will never return. You don't know how to return. You don't know how to repent. You don't know how to go back. He wants to destroy you. But you have another enemy. Boy, I hate to hurt your feelings, but it's your flesh. Your flesh, you blame the devil, but it's you. Your flesh, is enemy against God. I'm telling you, beloved, God has given us direction, beloved. God has given us direction. God has given us words. God has given us clarity. I cannot tell you. God help me. I shouldn't say this, but I am. I can't tell you. Over the years, how many pastors I've talked about, because I didn't like them. I didn't like what they said. Didn't like the way they said it. Didn't like how they operate. I can't tell you how many. Beloved, we have people that we are drawn to and that we can connect with really quick, and I get it. And then we have people we're not drawn to, but God called them. Does it matter to you that God may have called them, that God may have saved them? I told you everybody's invited to the table. You just may not like the way they look. You might not like the way they talk. You might not, whatever the deal is. But God has called us, and He's calling, and He's calling. But now to you who thinks that salvation, I tell you, Jesus is talking to church folks. You're not going to make it. How can I not make it when the Bible says that no man can pluck me from God's hand, that once saved, always saved? I tell you, yes, if you keep walking in the ways of Jesus Christ, you don't have to worry about somebody unsaving you. But, beloved, if you think you're going to keep practicing sin and lawlessness, no, it ain't going to happen, Captain. It ain't going to happen. Do you understand me? Do you? If you're going to practice lawlessness and you're not going to do the will of Father, it just almost kills the flesh. I know that. I don't mean the body. I'm talking about the fleshly man. But if you're going to keep practicing sin and you know you're sinning, come on, beloved. Do you know He's going to say to you, I never knew you? How can He say that when you wrote my name, I thought in the Lamb's Book of Life? No, you never would. How many times, even the Holy Spirit moves on you, and you even have a hard time with that? Beloved, I'm just telling you. Church folks are going to line up. Well, when the saints come marching in, and He's going to say, I don't know you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. What? How can that happen? But it can happen. Oh, listen, the devil is sly. Oh, he's sly. Oh, yeah. And when he reasons with that flesh, he don't reason with your spirit, beloved. He reasons with your flesh. Because the flesh man is already, he's already got the advantage. If he'll just come along and say, let me talk to you for just a minute. Well, he ain't going to say, I'm the devil and I'm going to talk to you. No, he comes in the form of light. Let me show you something. Yeah. Let me tell you something. You better be careful what you've been showed. If you showed something, beloved, go to your knees, please. If the Holy Spirit shows you anything about your preacher, about your pastor, listen, do me a favor. Pray for me. I have not arrived yet. Pray for me. And I'll do the same for you. I will let God use me to pray for you, to intercede for you. My God, I will pray. And He tells us to encourage each other in good works. Yeah, so, you know, now here's the interesting thing. Let me ask you another thing about the Holy Spirit. If you know anything about the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to Imagine that everybody in here knows something about the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit brings somebody to your mind, somebody, and shows you something, do you think the Holy Spirit, if you just pray a little bit longer, do you think the Holy Spirit wouldn't reveal to you how to help them? Come on. Come on. If God wants to help people and he begins to use you, now listen, just because you see something, you can't holler it from the mountaintop. Well, Dawn's crazy. Everybody knows. Oh, Lord, here we go. Well, we got some little click right here. I'm getting ready to throw it out. She's my friend. I'll whoop you over her. Yeah. Listen to me. I am not worth the salt that goes on my bread if I don't tell you the truth. I'm telling you, I am not worthy to carry a Bible and say that I'm anything if I won't tell you the truth. When we stand, and we're going to, beloved, we all are going to stand before the Lord. And you can look back at me and say, well, he never said that. He just told us everything is wonderful up in our beautiful balloon. But you didn't tell me, Pastor. Listen to me. Let me tell you, the two most important things that should be going on in our churches, loving God. Loving God with all of our mind. Loving God with all of our strength. Loving God with all of our hearts. And loving each other right there with it. If people felt loved when they come here, this place would be packed out. People want to be valued and loved. I believe that with all of my heart. And you, beloved, I have been born again by the Spirit of the living God. You've been washed in the blood. And they can't come here. Where can they go? Go down to the bar where everybody knows your name. Is that, what in the world are we thinking? More people. Oh, I'm going to get off of it. I got to say one more thing. Shame on the church, whether it's Grace Assembly, here, any church, where people can't be helped and be loved. I tell you, that church won't make it. I don't care whose church it is. If we're talking about Grace Assembly, if we're talking about the first frozen chosen, I don't care. Whatever you want to say, whatever the church, I just tell you, if you can't, my God, won't you stand to your feet, beloved? Oh, I want to read one more thing to you before we dismiss. Beloved, I would like for you to spend time on studying I Never Knew You. Would you study it out? Did you know these Christians? I studied it. These Christians started out really well. They started out good. They started out loving God. Then they left their first love. And then it became about them. Beloved, it ain't about you. It's about him. They started, understand something. They just didn't fall into some sort of deception. They started out really well. And then they moved out of love. They moved in pride, lawlessness, sin. Oh, if I had a nickel every time I have heard in my lifetime, did you see how he looked at me? Let me read one more thing to you. Let me read this in closing. I'm going to read this scripture to you in closing. It's in Revelation at the end of the book. And it's almost at the end of the last chapter. listen to what's said. I am in chapter 22, verse 18, 19. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. I warn everyone who hears the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. My God. Don't add to it. Don't take it away, beloved. Receive it as a child. Do the will of your Father. Do the will of your Father. Do the will. Keep his commandments. Which one? Just keep two. If it's hard, just keep the two. The two that fulfills all the law and all the prophets. Keep them two. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Let me say this. I feel unctioned by the Holy Spirit. Let me say this. I want to stop right now, and I'd just like for everybody to bow their heads. I don't want nobody's eyes open. I just want you to join me. Bow your heads. As they lead us in a closing song here, I want to give you an opportunity to repent. What I hear in my spirit. Oh, and we'll sing just a little more. But beloved, I want to help you. I'm talking to people who have already been reasoning with their sin life, saying and understanding that God understands it. You think that your situation is so special that God understands what you don't understand. Well, God does. But beloved, when it comes to sin, I tell you, you must be willing to do the will of the Father. I'm talking about anything and everything that's sin. Whether I'm talking about loving your sisters, your brothers, whether I'm talking about a sinful lifestyle. Oh, beloved, I tell you, you're headed down the wrong road when you begin to justify your lifestyle. You begin to reason with it. Oh, and justify it. The next thing you're going to start doing is defending it. When you start defending the lawlessness and the sinning lifestyle, you be careful, because God's going to turn you over to a reprobate mind. Oh, no. Oh, yes. And then you'll think you are right. And the whole church is wrong. You're right. They're a bunch of judges. They're a bunch of hypocrites. They're a bunch of critical, I don't know. Beloved, I want to help you. Lord, forgive us all. Forgive us all. My God, any and everything, Holy Spirit, that you're convicting your people of right now, right here in this setting, my God, forgive us. Cleanse us. We want clean hands and we want pure hearts as we walk before you, Master. Oh God, if I never operate in another gift, I want to operate in holiness, God. Not one holy person will miss heaven. Many gifted will. We see that. Many gifted people, but not one holy person. Oh, we want to be holy, Lord. We want to be holy. Oh, holy. Even as you are holy. Oh, God, do this work in us. Purify, purge, cleanse. My God. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Don't you let the sun go down on you today and you not deal with what the Holy Spirit is convicting you over.